What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 260 on this Thursday, April 2nd, 2026, first show of April. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy with you on a Thursday. We've got a lot of recruiting stuff to catch up on. Been a busy week for Oklahoma. They're back on the board again in 2027. We'll break down the commit with Isaac Coffin and then go big picture with the class. We'll also react, of course, to the decommitment of Micah Rhodes this week. We'll get Colin's thoughts there. The right guy to kind of put, the right context around that with our guy CK here. So we'll talk about that a little bit, and then hit some other recruiting news and notes. OU hosting guys during spring camp. Colin's been on the road, so kind of a we'll empty out the notebook bag a little bit in the back end of the show as well. I don't know if that makes sense at all, notebook bag, but we're rolling with it on a Thursday.
So a backpack.
Sure, I don't know what I'm going for. We'll get to all of it on the show today. Before we get started, though, subscribe, Sooners Illustrated, Oklahoma.247sports.com. Sign up, use the promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership for a year at Sooners Illustrated, the entire 24/7 Sports Network. Take advantage, spring ball in full swing, lots of recruiting content, spring sports. The Diamond Sports are off and running. They're obviously into conference play now, so dive in, be with us every day over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, Colin, let's get into it. Another week on the road for you. Hopefully, I think you're back in your home base for a little bit, right? Other than coming up to Norman for spring ball stuff, but I think you should have a chance to catch your breath a little.
I assume that I'll be back up in Norman sometime next week for spring stuff. You know, I was thinking about yesterday too. On that note, it's April 2nd. We are 16 days away from the spring game.
Uh-huh.
Is that wild to think
coming
about?
Coming up. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Happy Easter weekend to all coming up. And I think because of the holiday, I'll get a couple of days to relax. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it kind of worked out the way the spring ball schedule. They practiced yesterday. They practiced again today. I think they have the weekend off because of the holiday, if I'm not mistaken. And so there's kind of like a little bit of like a mini gap in media coverage. But it kind of allowed Colin a chance to, rest up a tiny bit as much as you can. And then we'll be right back at it, I'm sure, next week. I'll see other sports going on this week. The Crown, men's hoops got the win last night. They're into the weekend. Diamond Sports are home this week. So a lot of other stuff going on. And then we'll get full back into spring ball certainly next week. But as far as the show here today, we got a lot of recruiting stuff to catch up on. Colin and I did not talk really any recruiting last week because we'd just seen the first practice. So we went full spring ball, but we got some recruiting stuff to catch up on today. We'll start into the news of the week, which is Oklahoma back on the board in 2027 again with three-star offensive lineman Isaac Coffin. If it's Cogren, I apologize. I'm going with Coffin for now, but apologies to Isaac. We'll get that cleaned up if that's wrong. Katy, Texas, so obviously a program, Colin, that you're very familiar with, your neck of the woods, and he's the 20th guy in the class and another offensive lineman. We've talked about how much this offensive line class is just loaded, and Isaac jumps in. We'll kind of go big picture with the class in a minute, but first, Colin, talk about the player. I don't think this is a guy we've talked about much. I don't think, unless I'm just misremembering.
Right.
Talk about the player, how this happened. Kind of give us the full context with Isaac here as he jumps into the boat and becomes the latest addition to this obviously stacked 2027 class for Oklahoma.
Another really quality get. Top 30 interior offensive lineman across the country for us at 24/7 Sports. And a really interesting background that helps build out the profile here. So Isaac's a guy that actually played defensive line for the most part up until really this past season at Katy High, then made the move over to the offensive line instead of the defensive front, was playing a decent amount of tackle for Katy. I believe most of his time was spent at left tackle. But he is definitely an interior projection, and when you break down not only the fact that he has the defensive line background, he has a pretty promising track and field profile as well, multiple throws above 50 feet in shot put. There is a lot to like from a power perspective, an athleticism perspective, good foot speed and quickness and power. And because of that, at 6'4", 295 pounds, this has the makings of a really promising guard talent at the next level, especially developed by somebody like Bill Beatonbell. Isaac sure. is just getting to know him a little bit since the offer came in. Really mature and well-spoken young mind, and he's only scratching the surface of what he can become as an offensive lineman. And I think that that's a big reason why, obviously, that Oklahoma chose to invest at a time where really there wasn't a ton else going on for him. The other primary contender in this battle was Houston. The Cougs were pretty much trying to get him to stay close to home. But Oklahoma, it's just another kind of episode of this front office identifying a player where the recruitment is relatively open. There's a lot to like traits-wise. The Sooners swoop in and get a deal done before a lot of other P4 brands decide, oh, we really like this player as well. And so
yeah,
for Isaac, he visits on Future Freaks weekend in early March. That was his first time ever in Norman. He's back on campus a matter of weeks later, commits in a matter of days after that. Well executed on all fronts by Oklahoma. Love the player, and I love the personality as well. Just a really good fit in a really strong offensive line class in 27.
Yeah, really strong. You know, like you said, I mean, 6'4", shade under 300 pounds, good program, obviously, and these high-level Texas schools. I mean, you know, you're not going to – feels like the adjustment period is probably a little bit easier just because you're facing, you know, big – athletes at the next level. Not that you can jump right into the SEC, but it, you know, it's a little, it just feels like it's a good bet. You know what I mean? That this guy is going to pan out into being at the very least a potentially very solid player for you. So I like it. Fifth offensive lineman in the group goes with Tyson Ross and Luke Wilson. And obviously the big guys up top with Caden Penny and Cooper Hackett. So five guys in the class. And we've talked about a couple other names that have come up and, you know, what a group for Bill Beatonbell that he's put together. We'll go big picture on the class, but this group, Colin, that Bill Beatonbell's got right now, I mean, pretty awesome. I mean, you got obviously your two huge crown jewel pieces with Hackett and Penny, but then, you know, these other guys who are lower rated, if you will, that just seem to me with Ross, Coffrin, and Wilson all like very high upside, a lot of potential there. So, you know, this is a group that, fair to be very excited about, I feel like, if you're an OU fan.
Yeah, and Isaac's fit within that. Look, it's hard to ask for much more right now with that group, to be honest with you. And it's just funny how before this commitment with the other four you talked about, it's like, that's one heck of a haul. And then they go out and add Isaac to it. And I think that when you look at this group, you know, Cooper Hackett is just so much ceiling, right? Potential to play left tackle, maybe some right tackle as well. Caden Penny is kind of a guy that, like, I think he's so talented he could kind of do whatever he wants, even though he's probably a guard. Wilson's a tackle all the way. Tyson Ross, an interior lineman who's probably guard and guard. But Isaac is really the first of, in my opinion, maybe a couple, and we'll talk about this more in a second, who has guard to center versatility. I think Isaac could play either side of the interior, and I think he could play in the middle. And I think that's why Oklahoma was so excited about getting this guy. Jim Nagy talked about how they're not going to take offensive linemen who can't play multiple positions. And Isaac is exactly that. And I think he has shown the willingness to do that at Katy, playing tackle and guard and defensive line and really whatever has been asked. The big thing for him is he's playing at Katy. They are a very traditional downhill run attack offensively. So he's going to need a little bit more pass pro context, and I think that's going to come at the collegiate level. But, man, again, like, especially within the fit for this class, Isaac, you can easily see why they felt he could be another piece to the puzzle, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. Very exciting offensive line group. No, you know, in 27 for Oklahoma right now. Not hard not to be fired up about it. By the way, I never mentioned on the show, I did Cooper Hackett state tournament basketball a few weeks ago. I called one of his games.
There you go.
A load to deal with. He looked like a five-star offensive tackle playing high school hoops in Oklahoma. That was a lot of fun to watch. He just – nobody wanted to guard that guy down low. That was a fun experience a couple of weeks ago. So I want to get your thoughts big picture on the class. You know, this is the 20th guy Coughrin is. How many more? And I know you don't know for sure. That's why I just want to get your opinion, though, as you're as educated on this as anyone, because I think everyone's kind of wondering the same thing. Like, this class is getting big. This is 20 guys now. It's April 2nd. Signing day still 8 months away. What more is there to do? And if you I don't want to pigeonhole you too much back into a corner, but how many more is realistic to add? Could you see this thing getting up over 25? Not that many more. What are you thinking for? Because again, 20 is a lot for April. I mean, that's a lot of guys. They are still ranked number one in the class. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to know if they can hold on to that. Still a long way to go, but this class just keeps on getting bigger and better, but still a long way to go. So just what's left and how many more guys is realistic? How much bigger can this thing still get?
Yeah, I think without diving into too many names specifically, sure, because that's what we have the podcast for, there's plenty of time to talk about a lot of these candidates to join the group. I could easily see 25. I think if Oklahoma wanted to, it could exceed that number. Now, that's going to have a lot to do with the roster construction and that context there, a lot of math that has yet to be done. But when you think about really some of the holes that have still yet to be filled, I think that they'd like to add maybe another defensive tackle, maybe another linebacker. I know that safety is still very much in conversations, right?
Yeah.
And I think that we're not ruling out another offensive line addition. I think some people know who I'm talking about, and we'll discuss that further at another date. But the list goes on, and this is the other thing that I would really emphasize at this time. Yes, they are at 20 players or prospects in the class. And, I mean, they'll add several others. Like I mentioned, who know, another tight end maybe to go along with the Seneca driver. The list goes on, but because they have such a large sum in the cycle, other programs are going to start going after these guys, right? And we have seen that with a Keldred Benn. We have seen that with some of these other recruits that are committed in the class. And it's only beginning in terms of the pursuit externally from programs who, simply put, maybe don't really have a lot of other options to go, because – not only is Oklahoma consuming a large sum of the cycle, and granted, 20 in an entire cycle is small, but I'm also talking about guys that are high-level, power four caliber prospects, right? And so I think that's one thing to consider. There are other position groups that they have yet to fully address or even kind of backfill, even though they've maybe added some top-tier targets. But the other part of this is holding on to this class and flips that could create vacancies with time still left to go. And that's going to be ultimately what we follow over the course of the late spring and summer. And I think it's going to create for some, as I always say, reality TV style stuff for this recruiting class. It's going to be a lot of drama here pretty soon.
Yeah. And that is something, and we've brought it up before, that is the reality, is that of the 20 guys, more than likely, not all 20 of these will sign at OU. There will be someone, flips or whatever between now, but it's a heck of a class, obviously, and it's just continued to add and get bigger and better and more exciting. And 20 guys, still ranked number one, still a long way to go. We keep saying that still, but we've been saying that it's in April now. Like, it's, we're getting into it here. But it's exciting. It's exciting. It's a heck of a class, and fair to be excited about it if you're an Oklahoma fan. And Isaac Coughrin, the latest in there as the 20th guy in the class. We'll talk about maybe some other names that could be, down the road as Oklahoma's been hosting guys and things like that. But first, I want to get to the other kind of big news of the week, shifting back a class to 2028. And that's with Micah Rhodes officially decommitting yesterday, which was April Fool's Day, which would have been a weird April Fool's joke. But that did – there was like a slow – I saw some reaction of like – just because everyone's got their antennas up on April Fool's Day. But he did decommit. He confirmed that. Colin, this – really, I mean, whenever DeMarco Murray left, we immediately were like, well, that probably is going to mean Micah Rhodes might, open things back up. That was obviously a long time ago. He stuck for this long, but eventually does go where we thought it was going to go, maybe a little quicker, and that he decommits. Reality just simply, DeMarco Murray was his guy. DeMarco Murray's not here anymore. Is it just that simple? What was there more conversations? Will it? Could this still be a thing down the road? What all goes into the Micah Rhodes thing? Because I think everyone will point to DeMarco Murray, and maybe it is that simple. I mean, you can give me a better idea than I. What kind of went all into this from your perspective with Micah Rhodes, the number one running back in 2028?
Yeah, this is a loaded topic to discuss, and it's also sure. a very simple topic to discuss. And so, look, if you're new to the show, if you're new to us, maybe you're happening upon us for the first time, if you want a big reason why you should use code SoonersPod60 on the site, later tonight after this podcast drops, I'm going to put out a huge notebook about Micah and everything that I think and everything that I know, because there has been a lot that has come across my desk. And so sure. that's going to be up for our subscribers this evening. I also say that because I probably am able to dive a little bit further into some details that I probably can't discuss publicly here. And this is what's tricky, why I talk about this being a loaded topic. You want to be respectful of Micah and his camp, what they have going on. You want to be respectful sure. of Oklahoma staff and everything that they have going on. But you also really want to be respectful of the fans who want to know what's happening. And you don't want to play the shroud game. And so I'm going to try my best to balance all that. And so here's what I'll say. Like you mentioned, when DeMarco left, the initial assumption was Oklahoma could have a shot to hold him, but it's really going to have to go well because of how close Micah was and is to DeMarco Murray. And as time went on, you know, if you'll remember, or some of our subscribers might remember, I went down to Houston to meet with a number of prospects, including Micah. And Micah and I spent probably like a good half hour at his high school and then another chunk of time at a 7-on-7 tournament. Later that weekend, I spent time with a lot of people in his camp. And the overall sentiment was Micah was going to remain committed. He was going to keep options open. He wasn't going to be naive and let things play out. But he also knew that time was on his side and that his big thing was he wanted to reassess where other programs were with him and then really figure out where the program, that being Oklahoma, without DeMarco Murray was with him, especially with new running backs coach Dylan McCullough. And for those of you who do not know, there is a rule put in place by the NCAA, as dumb as it is, to where technically you're not supposed to communicate with recruits directly unless it's face-to-face or things of that nature. Now, there are obvious ways that you can relay messages around that. No one's naive to that fact. But
sure.
The big domino to fall was Micah had to actually get face-to-face with Dylan McCullough. That had to happen. That did happen finally. And I'll say this, going into the visit, not just the sentiment that you and I had heard, other people had heard, I can tell you with certainty that a lot of staffs across the country, coaches across the country, were looking at this trip going, is this when Micah Rhodes is back on the open market? Because everyone's been preparing. Yeah. Since Murray's exit, the expectation became reality. And I think, for lack of a better term, and I'm going to dive into this further in like the notebook I'm going to assemble, is it probably fair to say that no one, in terms of all parties involved, is really on the same page right now? Probably fair. And you know what? That happens in recruiting, especially in the face of major change.
Yeah.
And with, again, for lack of a better term, maybe some emotions running high on a lot of different fronts. There's just a lot going on right now. And so I think that the best thing to do for everybody was to just let this thing reopen and let a secondary process play out so that Micah can figure out what's best for him. Oklahoma and Dylan McCullough can really settle that situation in and figure that out as well, especially in relation to Micah, because he's still so fresh to the office, right? He's got to really dive into the recruiting scene. And so it all kind of combines for Micah to be back on the open market. Now, I think the other big follow-up question, especially for people watching or listening to this show, is, okay, well, where does Oklahoma play in as part of what's next?
Yeah, right.
I think the casual observer will say, oh, well, Jonathan Hatton Jr. came back around. I understand that sentiment, but at the same time, I think people forget too with Jonathan Natten Jr. how big of a role DeMarco Murray played in that one as well.
Right.
And Murray left the program when Hatton had already signed and basically was on campus, right? And so this is still very new for McCullough, for Rhodes. It is very different in the Hatton situation, and it's a very unique situation in general, right? Because Mike is one of the very few 2028s who made an early decision. I think that Texas, Georgia, I could see Oklahoma as time goes on and everything gets figured out playing a role. But I know a lot of other programs as well who they still have to figure out where they stand with Micah. And there are, I mean, granted, we noted this at the time, when Micah committed, it was not only because DeMarco Murray recruited him harder than literally anyone in the country. Mm-hmm. It was like Oklahoma was recruiting him this hard, Texas and A&M. Right? Like the separation was so significant that Micah felt that comfortable to make that early pledge. So it's kind of an open book as far as like literally any major brand in college football could see this recruitment open and go,
yeah,
well, hell, like maybe we throw our hat in the ring now, you know? So a lot of unknowns here. He committed and he's a very mature, well thought out young man, but he's also a 2028 kid who signed on for something and it was immediately taken away from. And with all of that, it's been a lot to figure out, and especially with Oklahoma bringing in a new running backs coach as well. You know, it's a lot, but I do think that as time goes on, it will be really nice for everybody to have the ability to have a fresh start and work on how they perceive this recruitment moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense to me. I mean, you know, for Micah, like you said, he's young. I mean, first off, he's got 2 years of high school football left. You know, he's going into his junior year right now. So he's got a lot of time to still figure things out. And like you said, DeMarco took the Chiefs job. How long was it after Micah committed? It was like
maybe a week or two.
Like. Yeah, it was quick. So it was like immediately what he had just signed up for lack of a better word. Maybe sign is not the right word, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it immediately all changed. And even though Dylan McCullough is a really good coach, I mean, it's fair to be like, well, hold on. I mean, let me kind of take a step back for a second. So I get it. I think it's totally fair. And we'll see where it goes from here. Maybe this is still something that could happen down the road. Maybe not. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah. You know, for Oklahoma, you got a lot of time to figure it out. It's not like it's November before he signs. You know, you got a long time to find another option. Obviously, he is number one. There's only one number one, you know, as of right now. Again, still early. But he's a really good player, and so we'll see what happens down the road. But just something that makes complete sense to me, and I think most OU fans get it also. So, yeah. You know, we'll keep an eye on it in time, and, you know, maybe this is a thing that, again, becomes a thing again down the road. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it still a long time before Micah has to lock anything in what would be the December of, you know, 27. So we got a long time from there.
The Sooners Illustrated Podcast will be back after this short break.
All right, let's get into some other stuff. You've been on the road a lot. We're going to do some of that, kind of at least, emptying the notebook, like I said before, of your travel. So you've been different places every weekend. Before we do that, I wanted to give you the opportunity to hit on some of the guys who have visited. Obviously, spring camp is underway. That means guys have been in town. We've been at practice. I've seen guys at practice. I mean, it's that time of year. You have guys come out, they attend practices, and they get to meet the staff and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. What have been some of the visitors of note so far? And, you know, I guess just the biggest things of consequence that have happened, whether it's making big headway with guys who have been in town or whatever direction you want to take it. But obviously Oklahoma have been pretty active here the first part of spring camp, getting guys out and visiting and attending practice and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, so I'll start with 2027 wide receiver Kyren Brown. He is from Amarillo. We don't get to talk about Amarillo, Texas all that much, right? Mm-hmm. But this is a recruit who takes a lot of pride in being kind of a representative of where he is from. And this is an ascending talent. He is someone who's picking up new offers left and right. And Kyren Brown is very much a name to know for OU. at wide receiver, took his first ever visit to Norman a couple of days ago. That was also when I learned that apparently Amarillo is like a four-hour drive from Norman, according to Kyron Brown. In my head, I thought that would be a ways away. And so
yeah,
it worked out really well. Kyron Brown shows up on campus, spends a good amount of time with some of the staff and gets to see the facilities and everything, kind of gets a tour mm-hmm. of the place. You know how that goes. And then got to watch practice, and he mentioned both Emmett Jones and Brandon Hall as guys that he met with briefly. And Kyron is being recruited on both sides of the ball in various places. OU likes him as a receiver, and Kyron has not shied away from the fact that he kind of grew up a fan of Oklahoma. And so he really enjoyed the visit. He told me that the plan is to get an official visit booked as soon as humanly possible, hopefully sometime over the next few days. He'd like to take an OV the first weekend of June. And as long as the staff will let him have it, he is going to be visiting Norman in the near future. And I wouldn't rule out a return trip either in the spring. So I like where things trend with Oklahoma and Kyron Brown, and kind of to what I was talking about earlier. You know, we talk about the potential maybe for some flips or things of that nature. You know, wide receiver is a position group in Oklahoma's 27 class that I am keeping my eye on. Damari DeJourn is heard frequently from other programs. And there's a lot of time left there, obviously. And so maybe Kyron Brown becomes more of a viable option. And
You only have the two guys. It's just DeJourn and Hall anyway. So, only two. Not that, you know, you're panicking at two, but, you know, a little low. And so if you're talking about, that in there, then, I would think that receiver.
You've got DeJourn, who's hearing from a lot of other programs. You've got Hall, who is hearing from a ton of other programs. Right. And you've got Graydon Howell, who is going to be a slot guy. But I think the other thing you talk about there, too, is a lot of those guys are similarly built. You know, maybe like speedy, more undersized guys. And so if Oklahoma does want to add maybe a bigger body type of true perimeter type, maybe Kyron fits that build at 6'1"-ish, 207 pounds. So regardless, a earlier recruitment type of phase that's one to monitor moving forward. Another guy I really wanted to talk about briefly, Matthew Nelson is on campus. Looks good. We got to talk to him at Spring Media Day. Just awesome guy to talk to. I think you were out there with me, though, when Sam Nelson was camping along with Matthew, too, in Norman.
That's right, yeah.
So Sam Nelson is Matthew's younger brother. He is a 2027 edge. Just recently was named the number one prospect or recruit in the state of Arkansas in 2027 by us at 24/7.
Mm.
And visited Oklahoma. Miguel Chavis went out there to see Sam and his family in the January contact period. And this is a recruitment I like a lot as far as the trend as well for Oklahoma. And Edge is another. I can't remember if I mentioned it earlier. I think Edge is one that Oklahoma wants to add more bodies, right? You've got Crew Jones in the mix, but they've looked at a Miles Smith. They just sent out a new Edge offer who maybe we'll talk about next week, but Sam Nelson has been kind of frequently in the mix. And so he just visited Norman. He is basically going to visit OU, Florida State, and Arkansas all in the month of April with a little bit of trickle over from March. And he'll be at OU spring game as well. So he'll make a return trip here pretty soon. I'm keeping a close eye on Sam Nelson, man. I think that OU – really wants him. They want to add more edges very soon. And I don't think it's any secret that the Sooners are a big fan of the Nelson family. So
that's
he stopped by.
You loop in that you have Matthew there who they're excited about. You pair him with Crew Jones, SEC territory, you know, in Arkansas. Feels like, you know, kind of a perfect fit all the way around. And that is quite it's only two, I guess, if you want to put it that way, but that's a heck of a two. If you go Nelson and Crew Jones, that's you can feel really good about that if that's the way that goes. So, a lot to be excited there.
And I think they want to take three in this class. And so even if another name were to enter the mix, I still think that somebody, especially like a Sam Nelson, for everything you just talked about, right, the connections to the program, I still think that there would be room for him to join the mix. But the way that his month of April is shaking out, like, I'm keeping a close eye on this guy. Sure. And then the last guy, I want to trickle over to 28 because we're talking a little bit of 2028. I will say that Armani Edwards, the number one offensive tackle in the country in 2028, visited. We've written about him very frequently on our site. And he's originally from Wichita Falls, Texas, moved to the greater Houston area, specifically Cypress, not too long ago. And there's a story up on our site right now that's really great from Armani about how growing up in Wichita Falls, he grew up strictly around Oklahoma and Dallas Cowboys fans was his joke. Everyone in his hometown is OU fan or a Cowboys fan. And so he's been very familiar with the program. He's very familiar with the state. That was a good visit to see come through. But the other guy I quickly want to mention, Josh, is Ridge Janes, tight end in the 2028 cycle from the Midwest. So here's why I want to mention him. Really talented player, already a guy. I want to say he's 6'5 to 6'6, 220-ish pounds. Promising tight end talent. We know how much fun it is to talk about tight ends now at Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
Ridge is not only someone who has multiple Big Ten offers, multiple SEC offers, has the traits. I'm sure you're checking out his profile right now if you're listening or watching the show. This has been my fun fact about Ridge Janes that we've cited on the site. Ridge Janes' sister is an OU rowing signee. She signed on with Oklahoma this past November.
All right.
So I'm going to be frank with y'all. I don't know a ton about Oklahoma rowing, but I she is set to be on that roster or however that works. But yeah, if you research Ridge Janes' sister, she signed her paperwork, is going to be at Oklahoma. And because of that, sneaky little connection to Norman for Ridge Janes. And look, 28's way is way, I get it. But with this built in, in my opinion, one that we're going to be talking about a lot more, and I'm probably going to reiterate that fun fact for a couple of years to come at this point.
Yeah, no, a couple of really exciting names there in 28. You know, like you said, looking into Ridge a little bit. I mean, 6'5", and he's just outside of the top 100 composite players, top five tight end for us in the composite. That's very exciting. And then, you know, I saw Armani Edwards at practice the other day on, I guess that was Monday. And, yeah, looks the part, to say the least. I mean, 6'4", 6'5", north of three bills. Like you said, our number one offensive tackle, our number three player at 24/7 Sports in 2028. So I know sometimes people, you know, not all the time, and if you're watching this show, obviously you care a lot about recruiting, but whenever you get a couple of a cycle or two ahead, there's a little bit of like, but these are guys worth bringing up now. Just put it that way. In 28, these are big time prospects that Oklahoma is in on. So a couple of very notable names there, and continue to monitor, and obviously a lot more spring to come. And I'm very interested whenever we get there, the week of, I guess would be when we would do it, but just to kind of see what the spring game visitor list looks like, because they've had some really impressive guys in, obviously during camp, you just highlighted some, and there's all this momentum right now. And so just curious to see what that looks like, because, you know, early in the Venables tenure, and even going back to Lincoln Riley tenure, the spring game weekend was built up as a huge weekend. Last year, they got away from it. Is it back all the way? I'm just curious to see what that ends up looking like in a couple of weeks. I know you kind of halfway mentioned a couple of names that might be back for the spring game, but very interested in what that visitor list ends up looking like that weekend when we get there, which is only a couple of weeks. So interested in that.
I'll tell you this. So they put out the video the other day, Brent Venables saying spring game.
Emphasizing it,
game. And because of that, compared to the Crimson Combine, rest in peace.
One and done.
You'll forever be in our hearts, Crimson Combine. If anyone has any Crimson Combine gear, I might be willing to buy it as a novelty item. But with the game being back, it is going to be a massive weekend. And let's talk about it. Using that as a perfect transition, as Josh mentioned it, I have not been in my own home really at all the last month and a half to 2 months. I'm not going to go through all of my travels, but I did want to kind of go the last maybe 3 weeks. I've done a lot of driving, and because of that, I want to make it worth it.
Sure.
Part of this was me covering Oklahoma stuff, sure, but also big part of this was me aiding our 24/7 Sports national team with coverage from some of the biggest events of the spring. And so while doing that, I was able to pull a couple Oklahoma news and nuggets. There are multiple recruiting notebooks up on the site, so you can go find more in-depth info on a lot of this stuff. But my goal with this is to kind of give maybe one to two big takeaways from each event that I attended. And I want to start, Josh, with my trip to Atlanta. Made the 12-hour drive to beautiful Carrollton, Georgia. I love going out there. Carrollton, Georgia is a place that I tell my wife all the time. Maybe one day I just, if recruiting coverage is no longer in my cards, I might just become a construction worker and live in Carrollton. It was great. It's always great. And the one big thing for me, coming up here pretty soon for the spring game, and I know you talked about 2028, but it's always good to get a cycle ahead. I think, and I think some people will talk about, maybe debate this, but I think we might be in for our first true direct head-to-head between Brent Venables and Dabo Swinney. And here's why I say that.
All right.
So 2028 linebacker Jay Shell. This is someone from Raven Gap. He isn't a Brent Venables linebacker, man. Like, I'm going to write up the interview that we did. This guy already talks like a seasoned NFL veteran, but is also like the overly nice type. I mean, he's such a Brent guy, but at the same time, he's like 6'3", runs like a gazelle. Just a ton to like about this guy. I think he is going to be one of the true blue chip linebackers of the 2028 cycle. And if you need further proof as to why you should care about this guy, right now it is Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and that trio is really surging already for Jay Shell. Jay was at an event out at Raven Gap, and Oklahoma flew Nate Dreiling in just to see him, and then flew Nate Dreiling back to Norman. Kirby Smart flew in for that event, the Kirby Smart. And Clemson invested heavily as well. But I'm excited because – so Jay Shell is from Clemson, South Carolina. Like, he grew up partially there. And when he was there, Josh, this is interesting, he met Brent when – it's my understanding he was in elementary school, that being Jay Shell. So Brent has known about this guy since he was literally a kid.
Yeah.
And Jay grew up kind of knowing Venables and his family. Like, Jay knows the Venables family from Julie to the daughters. Like, Jay and Brent's family, they know each other. And then the Clemson staff that followed Brent to Oklahoma – a lot of those guys know Jay as well. In fact, like, Miguel Chavis has known Jay for years.
Sure.
And there's a funny story that I might be able to tell if I get clearance one day. But, yeah, like, Chavis is very close with Jay. Venables is close with Jay. Oklahoma, like, Oklahoma's Clemson flavor plays a massive role in Jay being out there from Clemson. However, Jay grew up, because of all this, a huge Clemson fan. He has been linked to Clemson frequently in the early portion of his recruitment, and the Tigers already showing interest. But if you follow recruiting in depth the way that you probably need to, you know that Clemson has a kind of a weird offer policy. Excuse me. So they have not actually offered this guy yet.
Yeah.
And I think that with Oklahoma already having done so, with Georgia having already done so, and showing the interest to this degree, like, technically Dabo and the Tigers have a leg up in this recruitment, but they haven't actually offered the guy, and that is very relevant, especially with the Clemson flavor and the linebacker flavor at a place like Oklahoma, and then obviously what Georgia is and the proximity there. I'm a huge fan of Jay Shell, like a huge fan. This is going to be a really fun recruitment to follow because I think a lot of people are just casually linking him to Clemson because of his previous fandom. But Jay, in the interview that I'm going to write up, says, like, I'm going to do what's best for me in my career as a linebacker. And with everything baked in here that I talked about, and he'll be visiting for the spring game, Jay Shell is going to be one that I think Oklahoma fans should really tune into because he is very much a Venables guy.
Yeah, no, very exciting and fun. I mean, just, you know, the position, everything. But like you said, the first kind of true, like, you know, Brent Venables and Dabo and Oklahoma Clemson really hasn't really happened that I can, you know, like you said, you know, first real, you know, there's been some, if you want to, like, you know, Jaron Kanick, I guess, or maybe like Marcus Strong portaling over there. There's been a little, you know.
People talk about like Sammy Brown, the linebacker, but yeah. Sammy Brown was always going to Clemson. Like that wasn't a battle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So definitely interesting. Very interesting. And obviously I was kind of looking him up while you were talking, obviously. And, you know, 6'3", 215 as a junior. I mean, that works.
I think he verified at the Under Armour combine above 220 pounds now already.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. So,
you know, I want to say he ran in the 4.5s already too. Like he's awesome.
Yeah, no, definitely a fun name to tuck away. Plus, it's a fun name to say. Let's just call it like it is as well. Jay Shell, that rocks.
Yes. That rocks. Suddenly great linebacker name, you know?
Yes.
All right. It's almost that time of year, Elite 11, one of the biggest events of the spring and summer. You know, the Elite 11 finals, it kind of feels like one of the closest things we have in recruiting to some of those premier NFL draft events that happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And so none other than Jamison Roberts, Oklahoma's quarterback commit, went out and competed in the Elite 11 Regional in New Orleans. So I did that drive out there. It was about 8 hours. Was the first of two back-to-back trips to New Orleans, enjoyed it. And I saw Jamison both trips, but I want to talk about in the Elite 11 and the opening, which was the following day. I want to talk about Jamison because there's a great couple of stories on the site about Jamison's like path to a commitment.
Yeah.
I really encourage folks to check out those stories I put together. It's really just me writing down everything Jamison Roberts said and letting him tell the story. And man, that guy is something different. You know, you talk to people on the recruiting trail, you talk to people in the Switzer Center. There is no telling what Jamison Roberts is going to do one day after his football career. I've heard real estate, but man, this guy could be the president one day. Like you hear him talking. What I wanted to talk about here was like moving forward to Josh's question earlier, what's next? Jamison Roberts is going to get Oklahoma a lot more commitments in the near future. And I wanted to really hammer home in this portion of the show, OU fans should be celebrating this guy, not just because he's a talented quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me the story about how after he committed, he immediately, like they had a conversation with the staff as far as how important it is for him to become a recruiter. And he said immediately after that conversation, they had a cooking competition during Future Freaks weekend. And in his group was Seneca Driver and Tyson Ross. And he said, in our group, I immediately was like, hey, both of y'all need to commit, and sold them. And it's my understanding that Tyson Ross commits maybe a half hour later. Jamison Roberts sells Seneca Driver specifically on making that surprise commitment out of nowhere. He then sells Jalen Scott, the safety, and his buddy on making the commitment as well. And as Jamison Roberts is telling me all these stories, I'm really sitting there myself going, man, I didn't realize how big of a role you played in getting all these guys to commit.
Sure.
I don't see any sign of that slowing down. There's a story on our site about everyone else that Jamison is trying to recruit. And you can probably fill in the blanks out there as far as some of the names. But man, Jamison had a really good outing and a showing at Elite 11 in the opening, but what I want to hammer home is this is a big get, obviously, because he's a quarterback, but the way he is recruiting as the class's signal caller is truly an elite level, and that is a massive weapon in Oklahoma's pocket the remainder of the cycle.
No, for sure, and we've talked about it before, you know, the impact that the quarterback can have on the class. We see it every cycle where the kind of just you build it out from there. Now, James Akeeman later, a lot of times the quarterback is right at the very beginning, you build it out, but doesn't mean he still is not going to, you know, build it out. Like you said, it's – and that's really the sign whenever the class kind of rallies around the quarterback and he's helping bring guys in. We've seen that cycle after cycle after cycle of these guys, obviously, certainly Bo Bentley this past year. And you just back it up, you know, even what Kevin Sperry was doing. Obviously, he ended up not signing with OU, but certainly what he did for OU in that kind of role. I mean, you go back every cycle, it's kind of the case. So definitely great to hear. I'm excited to see more of Jameson. Hopefully maybe he camps this summer in Norman so I could, you know, get a chance to see him in person, because obviously he's out there in Alabama, but just to see him play a little more, because I've heard great things, and obviously you know you've seen him and you've talked to him, and just it seems like a guy that Oklahoma fans are going to really like, you know, as they just get to know him more, you know, learn more about him. Yeah,
I think as I've been hanging out with Jameson and his dad the last couple of weekends, I am workshopping the idea of getting a Jameson Roberts podcast episode, like just letting him talk and letting people
turn him loose.
Not even like you and everyone else, like letting this guy talk, because he is fascinating to listen to. And it's hard not to pull for a guy like that afterwards, you know,
for sure.
So last event I'll discuss, went back out to New Orleans for the Under Armour Combine there. Man, that thing was loaded to the surprise of absolutely no one. But Jameson was back out there, and some guys that I really wanted to talk about. I'll hit two recruits here quickly. Let's start with 2027. So I talked about safety earlier a little bit. They have Jalen Scott, but I think in Oklahoma's three safety structure defensively, especially what they ask those guys to do, they like to take three in this cycle. And the name that is well known is Bodie Sparrow. Mm-hmm. But the other safety spot potentially is still being worked through. And a couple of guys that are being brought up. So Jaden Anding is a four-star defensive back from Ruston, Louisiana. Look, he is from Louisiana. He LSU is in the mix. It's my understanding that LSU is doing the thing that LSU has to do with an in-state recruit of keeping him around, you know, keeping him at arm's length, but maybe letting him explore the process before they know whether or not they'll definitely bring him into the class. But at the same time, Jaden Anding is going through his recruitment, and he told me that he'll be on campus at Oklahoma for the spring game. So,
yeah,
four-star 2027 safety in Norman expected. He's expected to bring a 2027 wide receiver who I saw at the Elite 11 in the opening, Josiah Morgan, with him as well. So another 27 receiver potentially to get to know. Morgan does not have the OU offer. Anding does. And just curious to see what happens there whenever a guy of that caliber shows up in Norman, a position like safety. The other guy I want to talk about, Kevin Marshall. So another defensive back, recently got the offer, I want to say maybe 7 days or less ago, from the state of Mississippi. We have seen Oklahoma recruit the states of like Mississippi and Alabama really well as of late. And I think Kevin Marshall is one that Oklahoma fans are really going to want to familiarize themselves with moving forward. We'll see how it goes, but it's clear to me that Kevin Marshall is a huge fan of OU's operation. He had a really good conversation with the staff whenever the offer came through, and he's working on getting a visit set up here pretty soon as well. Again, made it abundantly clear that Oakland will be one of his top contenders moving forward. And if the Sooners show similar mutual interest, there's no telling what could come from this over the next few weeks. And then the last guy I really want to talk about, speaking of Jameson Roberts, his teammate at Saraland, Alabama, and a big personal favorite of mine in 2028. So let's go back to 28 for a second. Saraland defensive lineman Keone Snipes. He is Jameson's teammate. They're two of like the true blue chip caliber prospects on Saraland's roster. And somehow, if you need to be convinced why you should care about 2028, Keone Snipes shows up as a 28 prospect and is the like biggest defensive lineman at a camp like UA New Orleans. And think about that for a second. The type of defensive line talent that camp would pull in. This 2028 recruit is already 6'6" and 260 pounds. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, like, that'll play.
What is in the water? And can I please have some? Keone is awesome. And Jameson is recruiting Keone. We're talking about the spring game. Keone Snipes is expected to be in Norman for the spring game as well. He mentioned that if a scheduling conflict comes up, that maybe he pivots to the 11th, but he will be in Norman over the next couple of weeks. And even if something happens, it was made clear to me that like Jameson Roberts, it's what I was talking about earlier, might just step up and try to figure out a way to bring Keone with him. So a testament to the Sooners signal caller commit. And Keone has the likes of Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Florida, Texas, big SEC brands already in the mix and more entering as time goes on. I can tell that Keone Snipes already really likes Oklahoma. Having Jameson Roberts is one thing, but I'll share this with the VIP crew and the podcast crew. Keone is also friends with Jake Krell, believe it or not. Like they know each other.
Interesting.
So
doesn't hurt.
Pile this on with the fact that somebody like a Todd Bates is from the state of Alabama. So there's just a lot to like here with a really promising defensive line talent. I think Keone Snipes is going to be one of the top recruits in the country for 28. And it's already clear that Oklahoma is laying the groundwork to be very successful in that recruitment. Another name to know, in my opinion, for OU fans, the guy that's worth investing in as this race unfolds.
It's exciting stuff. I mean, you know, we talked about it last week, you know, you and I, after we had the first practice where we talked about the team just kind of looking bigger and more SEC ready. That seems to be a theme. It seemed like every guy we talked about was, you know, the size. I mean, these are SEC bodies. These are SEC players. A lot of positive momentum right now coming off last season, what you're doing in 27, and you're, you know, still doing some of these 28 guys that, you know, we touched on that are really high end. Exciting stuff. You know, vibes are good right now with what the staff is doing, with the on-field product in the front office. It's just kind of a lot of it seems like it's a well-oiled operation right now for Oklahoma. A lot to be excited about and a big next couple of weeks. And it sure sounds like, you know, the spring game weekend is going to be quite a weekend in terms of the level of prospect and players that are going to be out in Norman for that, you know, weekend, which has always been a big deal. You know, last year was weird, but it seems like back on track is kind of, you know, a big celebration of the program type of thing. And it's paid off in the past and probably will again, you know, here in a couple of weeks. But obviously more time to set the table for that when we get there. But exciting stuff, no doubt about it, coming up here very, very soon for Oklahoma. I think that's it. We'll be back next week, of course. Tom and I will be back on – should be Monday. I don't know, spring practice makes stuff move around sometimes. But likely Monday, where we'll kind of hit on some other, you know, spring ball stuff and certainly recap Diamond Sports and Hoops in the Crown, all that good stuff. And then – Colin and I will circle back later next week, probably more spring ball stuff, maybe some more recruiting stuff as well. But kind of that time of year, getting closer to the spring game, really looking forward to it, recruiting picking up. It's a good time of year. Feels good. Getting into April. We're getting, you know, we're moving right through. It's exciting times. I think that's it for now, though. Colin, appreciate you as always. Good, sir. Try to rest up this weekend if you can. And we'll be ready to dive back into some spring stuff next week. That's it for now. Do you have anything with that?
Oh, I was going to say, number one, happy Easter, but number two, everyone be safe out there with the storms. So
that's it's you know, tornadic potentially around here. OU baseball and softball both moved their Friday games up, which, you know, great for me. I love a Friday day game. Who doesn't like that? You know, so definitely be weather aware the next couple of days for sure. That's it for now. Be back next week. For Colin Kenny, I'm Josh Calloway, signing off for now. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.